I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Christy B., from the Just Do It Group of N.A. in the East End area of N.A. You thought I'd give you Christy.
I haven't spoken out of retreat before, so I'm really nervous that there's not the 5,000 bus boys who could have come down and play with it. My dream date is 9/11, so we're just shy of 4 years here, coming up real soon. And the last time I was at this retreat, I was detoxing for heroin, and I picked up a one-day detox. After I took a last trip to Boston up here, I picked up a one-day detox at the main speaker, not in 2007. And to see coming from there, how many years ago was that? And, to being here now and having almost 4 years clean, it's like not a great gratitude for you. I don't know what else is. That's not my first clean day. First time was shortly thereafter that relapse, about clean. In 2007 in December, and this is the detox that you're obviously doing right. And, I had one child in active addiction, and, my child was taken from me because of my active addiction. And it was probably the most gut-wrenching thing that's ever happened to me. It was raising the hospital with all my child. And still not being able to stop. And when I got clean and still didn't regain custody of my child, and that, continued the cycle of using, and finally I got pregnant again, and I said to myself, I'm not going to do things this way. So I got clean and got involved, and we went through a couple of years together. And the reason I say this is because what I lacked that first time around in that 3 years was a very needed dose of gratitude. I wasn't grateful for anything. Everything was handed to me. I felt like I lived rent-free. I worked minimal job just to live off the system and didn't do anything for myself. I worked a minimal program and didn't really, I wasn't grateful for anything. I didn't have a God. I didn't attribute anything to a higher power. It was all me. I felt like it was all me. I did this. I didn't like myself, so how could I be grateful for anything I thought I was giving myself? When I picked up again and gave away everything that I had gained over that 3 years, because it wasn't taken from me, I never let my addiction take anything from me. I gave things back to my addiction. I went on a run that it was about 9 months long, and it was horrific, and I remember being in the middle of it and sitting there and thinking to myself, this is just not right, this is wrong, like something is not, there's a better way, and I knew what it was. I grew up around this program. It's not like there was a lack of principles growing up or in my life, it's just, I didn't pay attention to myself. But, when I finally decided to stop, I had enough, and I had some people in my life. And the good thing about this program, and what I am grateful for this program, is that there were still people, even though, I went through the motions around here for that 3 years, there were people that loved me. And I would get text messages like that to be. I'd be running, and I'd be texting my friend, I'm like, what's the dog man? And here, somebody from the program would go to Beatbox. I'm like, oh, somebody else text me. Or, you know, Donna would meet me at the fire hall and bring me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and chicken because that obviously wasn't eating because I was too busy popping and finding ways to meet. I'm grateful for the people who stopped by me and I always say this, I want to save my life, took me to the car, took my dog, took the dog to the trap house, which is the craziest thing, but, I went and, I remember still being like kicking and screaming and being resistant, even though I was done. And I knew I was done, but I was still kicking and screaming. And when I got to Mercy, well, first I called Diane and I said, Diane, I'm ready for treatment. You know, it was August and she said, well, there's no funding. There's no funding. It's the beginning of the fiscal year. I'm a junkie. I know when the money comes and I know when treatment's available. It's always the end of August because they get money to buy them. Because there's no funding. It doesn't work like that anymore because of my lack of gratitude for the money that was given to me previously. I had used it and it wasn't available anymore for people like me. And, ended up having to go and suck it up and he had to put me in a hospital to see. And it was brutal and I didn't want to do it. And that's what I ended up doing. And, today I'm grateful for that. Very much so. I'm grateful for the cold shakes and the sweats and the throwing up and the, I'm grateful for that. That's a gift to me today. I was desperate enough, and that's also a gift. I'm grateful for the gift of desperation because I was desperate enough to want to go through all that to get where I am today. Taking and screaming, went to the rehab that they told, I told them where I wanted to go, they sent me somewhere. I told him I would only go to one halfway house when I was in rehab, where I stayed in rehab for like 45 days because that place didn't have a bed for me. So I ended up going to bed. And, you know, finally God's will kicked in because it kicked in my head that like, oh, wait a minute, I'm self-willing and it's God's will, not my will. And so I followed the path that was laid out for me and I ended up in rehab in Pennsylvania. And, found the sponsor who taught me gratitude, because I didn't know it, and it was something that I had to be taught, and to kind of make a list of everything I was grateful for, and I'm like, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means, like, what am I grateful for, and so I like, write down, like, tangible things, like, you know, people, and places, and things, and then as she's like, okay, write another list a couple weeks later. And as I started writing these gratitude lists, like, week after week, like, it changed. Like, it wasn't so much tangible anymore. It was like, you know, a little bit of self-respect today. You know, a little bit of honesty in my life. You know, the ability to say I'm sorry. Forgiveness. Like, I'm grateful for all these things. And, It's been a rough, couple of years. Like, everything is not perfect. I got to a point where, I did things back easily. You know, and after the relapse, and after I got established, and I went through my sponsor now, because I just recently knew that I got a new sponsor, and she says, I told him my story and how I ended up in like Newcastle and I was going to come back to Pittsburgh after the halfway house, but they opened me to this quarter house and like God intervened and like, I was supposed to get out of the halfway house at one point and like, God intervened again and I failed a drug test because of my psychiatrist. So they didn't save me up. And I'm like, why is this happening? I didn't knew. Why is this happening? I didn't knew. Well, it was because I wasn't supposed to go yet. And I didn't see it at that time. I was freaking out. Like, I'm so glad I knew. And, you know, but they believed me. And I was so television that I didn't see that. But, you know, it was because I was supposed to remain still and I ended up in the porterhouse that they opened today. And my sponsor now pointed it out, that porterhouse was only open for the year that I was there, and 2 months later, then it shut down. And, I mean, looking back now, like, I didn't see that for what it was. She pointed it out to me. And then I got some gratitude for that place. Like, I was grateful for it already because it saved my life, but when she pointed it out like that, I'm like, man, that's God. You know, and the way he's been working in my life, even though I've turned my back so many times, over and over, has just been amazing. I ended up getting a job. I got arrested on my last run for the first time ever. And they put me in the back of the cop car, and I'm crying. I'm like, leave my baby to go. But I'm grateful for that now because, like, I got a taste of what it was like. Because that was one thing that I really was always, like, egotistical about. I'm never going to go. I never got caught. I never got arrested. Well, I got caught. You know? And I got a taste of it, and I didn't like it. It's really. And, you know, it was a 14-hour stint on the OCJ, but still, it was enough. it was enough for me. And, I hated that cop at the time, but now I'm grateful that, like, he intervened, because what if I would have OD? You know, if he stopped me from popping at that point that day, like, I think about those things today. Like, I get gratitude out of a lot of things. It's like, even, like, the bad stuff that happened, like, getting arrested, like, that could have saved my life that day. Like, I could have died that day if I wouldn't have gotten arrested and thrown me back to the cop car. That could have been the end of my life. If I think too much or not, like, that's, you know, where I go with it. And if it gives me gratitude, and then I'm grateful for that, I guess. When I started to work again this time clean, I was the worst employee. I couldn't get to work on time. I was on the verge of getting fired. It's fairly negative. It means I'm going to get fired. On September 4th, just coming up here, I'll have 3 years with my company. I've actually turned it around to the point where I'm like in the top 5% in my company. And I work from home now. With, you know, I went from living in my car on my last run, so I just bought a house. I don't say it because I brag, but like, from where I came from, that's a huge dose of gratitude for me, because like, if it wasn't for this program, like, I wouldn't have any of these things. Like, I wouldn't have been able to, like, go and apply for a mortgage. Like, people like us don't get mortgages and we're not running the streets, you know what I mean? And, like, I'm grateful for that. Like, I knew what to do and how to do it. I just got to create my own schedule at work, and my boss is, like, the best boss ever. She's just amazing. It's just, I'm really grateful for everything I have, you know, and I make a lot of mistakes, and the one thing that my one sponsor came up to me all the time, she's like, you really need to be grateful for all that self-awareness that you have. Because I really have, I don't know if I beat myself up a lot, and I took myself apart. But at the same time, it's a good thing because I'm hypersensitive to what I do. And I have, like, an acute awareness for everything and my actions. And majority of the time. And, you know, when I don't feel right, I know I have to make amends and do the right thing. And it comes way more quickly than it used to. And I'm grateful, and that's another thing I'm grateful for. And when I was thinking about the topic when it was given to me, the one thing that I thought the most was, you know, it's really hard sometimes to be grateful when things are going badly. And that's like the hardest time for me to be grateful. Like when I'm irritated, when I'm frustrated, when I'm hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you know, I have a tendency to isolate a lot. I work from home, so I have to leave my house. It's me and my kids. We live in the West End, which is a different area from me. I didn't grow up in that area, so I don't really know a whole bunch of people over there. you know, so I have a tendency to do that, but when things aren't good is when I struggle with gratitude. And on the way up here, it's funny because I was driving up here late last night and I heard Steve Harvey on the radio. And he started talking about how gratitude, if you know, you feel bad and you feel horrible, like not good about yourself, if you need to change your level of gratitude. Because if you change your level of gratitude, it'll change your attitude. And then if you change your attitude, it'll change your latitude. I was like, how funny is he talking about that? I'm driving up here and, you know, and it's so coincidence. It's such a coincidence. But it's not really a coincidence because it's God coming in all areas. Like, he's coming to me through Steve Harvey on the radio. So it's everywhere I go. And I'm grateful to be here, and I have a lot of guys that I could go on forever about guys. It's a really great topic, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to share. And I think I'm going to stop now. Thank you.
And with that, I'll give you our next speaker, Jeff Coos, from Central Westmoreland area, Bennett. Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm an addict.
Hi, Jeff.
I just think about something like Steve Harvey said, where I was going, in Sacramento, California for a while now. These buses, these public transportation, they have please move further to the back of the bus. And then you turn around and say, who's moving farther to the back of the bus? And I'm like, wow. I really take language for granted. So what I derived from that was that debacle between further and farther is that whenever I have to work for something, I have to, whatever one means distance and effort, that distance I think is further. So the farther my goal by furthering the effort. You know? And that's like a strategy to me. Two things that I can think of off on the fly that I have gratitude for is like the relationship with my family that I almost lost to this relationship. And like right now, currently, my brother and brought a couple times ago because I like to keep what people have left. And I cannot keep them without maintenance. I just had to have general anesthesia surgery to get a piece of nasty surgery out of the back, and it's still not healed yet. It's weird. It's just weird, and that's the first time I've had general anesthesia since I got pain last year on April 27th, so I have 16 months. It's not the most painful I've ever had, but one thing that's different about this time is that my mind is blank. I don't remember what's different, but I know I know that I think about it whenever it comes in my head. I got pain in April of last year. My first acute was for a spinal cord injury. And I was like, first time I probably hadn't seen for like 6 years. Anyway, I have a healthy fear of relapse. Why? I'm over like that. It's just insane. I said I wasn't going to hurt. They're like, pull through it. I'll go through it. And then, what are you thinking? You have a job, and you have a car, and you have a family, and you have a life, and you have charisma, and you're coloring your skin. You ain't going through what I'm going through. Yeah, and they weren't. That time, I was the only one going through it. And I was the time my life where I and then stuff started coming to me, but I got to see it most of the time. All the stuff that I said, all the stuff that you said, and I'm telling you, it all happens in one day. But like all this critiquing, philosophizing, like aligning ourselves to literature. Because there's so much that happens in just the weather that explodes, and so much that happens when we're on a mission to go to teach or school. There's so much stuff that happens in our head and our hearts. Like, when we get here, what I'm saying is that no one has it. When I came here, that's all I wanted. I'm on it now. You listen to me before we sit, but you don't. And you ain't got nothing on my thing, Tom, because the fuck it is. Because when I was using it, he's like, what do you have in your pocket? Fix me, I'll pay you for it. And I got drugged to the mud by a bunch of wannabe dealers, a bunch of cons, brains that ever have parents in it that have fucking misinformation that comes here, and it's like we're all the same thing, we're just not using it. So I have like super teams for us around this place. And it's, that brings me to the point where like I'm as innocent as I expect. I look to other people how I can say something that makes no sense to struggle, but feel this person here, like what I've been hearing, what I've been hearing about the past. And you can, it's like people keep coming back in my life. Me for one, so I take a day. He's coming back in my life, and he's like, he won't give up on me. You know, when I've learned not to complain, this is not complaining to me, kind of thing. I've learned not to complain because that's all I ever knew was wine until I get what I wanted. And I can't really hold him to say because with the hospital and doctor of survival in life, if you have to surrender and like rescue people's property and like take orders from someone who's younger than me and like nod your head when idiots are telling you how they think life works. Like, that's what I have to do on a daily basis. Just so I can afford rent, so I can sleep to get the energy enough to go back and do the same bullshit again and anything. And that's what it is. I don't have to use it without using. I have the energy to do this, and in a sacred little corner of my mind, I can just go and laugh. Full of shit, and you're fucking stupid. You don't know it. And like 50%, the 5%. That's because when you're doing here, we are like, you know, watching the best show on earth. Because people are stupid, and there are a lot of them. I'm one of them. A lot of the times, I make an idiot out of myself, and it's okay because, you know, I'm not taking direction. I'm not going to look for. I'm not going to find the reason to talk. I make some really stupid mistakes for it. Like, just because I don't have a rap sheet, like, I have an internal rap sheet that's just quick. You know, it tells me to quit. This is, my addiction is nasty, but it's not as powerful as my ego. You know, and I'm cool with that. And if it's even something that happens at a business, it's me making wrong choices. I don't believe it's something that I'm doing. Like, I don't pop out that stuff. I was adopted. I don't have a brother and sister driver. I was mean alone from the sex. So I don't listen to that. Oh, my addiction is controlling. No. If you put a drug in you, then you can blame it on that. No one wants to listen to you. So go nod your head until you walk away and find someone else. That's the other way to find. So the way I believe is like, I have the tools that you need to get out and find recovery. And then take those tools, because that's just a meaningful part of life, and go out and then find my way through to be able to support myself and find my dreams. Dreams aren't recovery. Literally, it's about dreams. That's not based on me. That's based on action and reaction and philosophy and hurtable actions and everything. And it's not being taken to take it easy. That's based on her. That's like going to a doctor's office and saying, my patient's died. What do I do? Well, over here in the credit, says the cost. Bye, payment. You know, that's what they said to you. Like, you're beat. We're going to tell you again and again and again and again because it's surrender. And so you get bored or enough to go out and do it yourself. Because we all do it ourselves. You know, so that's how I learned. That sounds nasty at first, and I mean, after a while, it allows me to have freedom in my life, which I never had. So this is like my take on freedom tonight. But I don't have to be hiding in the fucking room to, like, get a life. You know, when I was 30, 69, like, me taking this year, I'm so fucking bored. You know, I'm taking care of the walls and like 55 guys to try and think to myself and get a new perspective on life. Because, you know, my addiction at that point had its claws and little tendrils inside my head and my heart that made me sit still and not appreciate anything except like euphoria and climax. Anything that felt just like the 3 M's that worked for me when I first came out. Meditation and masturbation, like, that helped me get out of my head. I read in the guy's magazine about cursing a lot, listening to really loud music, and masturbating helped me get through some of those times in my life. Like, everybody does this, so. And one of the things that's helped me with the masturbation part is like not, trying to like be single and get into a relationship. But for me personally, showing gratitude, I don't want to dwell on that. It seems like it'll just show that it's my homework. You know, I'm surprised that God's taught me to do that. You know, like not getting into a relationship, not even starting. And I'll get to the positive point of that. My self-loathing brought me to my knees thinking I'm never going anywhere. I was single when I came in here. I've been single for 5 years. I'm not going to get into a relationship. Anymore. The best thing I can do is stay out of the way, stay out of trouble, and mind my business. There's no life. There's just staying out of trouble. It can only get worse. You can either stay here, you can lose no money. But I'm not like behind bars. I don't have a dictator like screaming at me. Just because I can make them aside. I can like bounce my opinions off of you and you and me and like draw on friends and you can say I'm coming back. Hell, my sponsor told me it's not okay, but if you realize you can work with it, don't fucking go away. Don't end up in a taxi. So, and then he brought me bowling up and I thought, there's going to be people drinking this, and it's hard to be hard to get over it. You know, it's life. It's a fact. It's hard. The hard thing about it is, like, when I came in, I didn't want to call anybody. So that's just turned me off. I don't want to call you. Mind your business. You know? And it's like, all right, well, if you don't want to use, and you know, call me when you want. And we'll take you something else. You can get sponsors and customers like once a month. But, you know, things can work. And, what I mean, you know, I get here is that, like, I can find my own way in recovery. I'm like, oh, it's crazy. Oh, my God, I'm pissed off at everything. When I came in here, I couldn't say anything without people just saying, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, so I have to fight out of it. I'm going to say things you probably didn't. And it speaks my fucking mind because I meant what the fuck I said when I first came in here. And you knew it was gold, but you said, oh, because you looked at 3069. And I have that fucking disease too, where I think new time makes recovery. I think that, oh, because you have 20 years clean and you know something. And I think that because you have 30 days clean, you don't know something. And that's pathetic, and I probably should work for you, but, back to my job, like, I've not been late to my job, I've been early and I've been late every single day. And so everybody leaves, and I'm like, okay, I'll push myself. I'm always uncomfortable. I don't like people. I like feeling good. And that's where I'm at 16 months. I'm only at the point where I can recognize that I like to feel good, and I want to, and that's when I start developing a social and acceptable responsible director of life that, you know, first of all, keeps the man off my back. He's my sponsor, so he can do not bug me. You know, what's wrong, or my friend's been, you know, trying to correct every word that I say because all I can do is whine. Or, you know, so I can whine and I can cry. It's dropping to what I do. I work my butt off, and I hide at my job, and I hide at the same meetings, and then I go home and I lock my door. And ever since I got to say, like, I close the door and I come across, and it's just became habit. You know, because that's all I wanted to do tonight, but it didn't put me in there. Well, I got into a routine, because this routine is able to be manipulated, like having new bodies and systems to be different. I fixed my schedule, it fixed me, I work around it, and all this is like brand new thing too. When I first got pain, like, family moved away a month later. His mom got married to a woman, and I took my kids and the dog, and my house, actually, my house, and the one bedroom, so the first time I lived alone in my life, I'm pretty new. Everything was weird and foreign, and it was silent. I had no responsibility or anything to share with anybody. But, you know, then fucking car broke, the transmission broke on my way to work one day on my team. So for like 6 months, I had to find the dog. And like, I had to save money, you know, $10 a pound. I had to go to college. You know, I had to let the bottom dinner. I had to stand in the same place as I had to go. I wanted to change that part of my life. So I saved and I saved, and like, things worked out after it. I got the new chance to see my car. I didn't have to, like, you know, be ready an hour and a half to save fucking money, so I could stand outside and wait, you know, like, not smoking cars. You know, and I didn't have to worry about preparing myself to accommodate somebody else. I could be who I am, where I am, when I want. You know, and that's something I look for. And like, I didn't realize or recognize how important it's like taking care of myself. So even a few moments a day has an impact on the day I see life. You know, and so I'm hard on life. It's just also hard on me, and that's the gift I got from getting from that. You know, it's pathetic. For lack of a better word, it's pathetic that I had to go afterlife without having to fuck off and kill people and kill themselves and steal from every corporation. It's like the misunderstanding that like corporations are bad. You know, that link is that like, well, I'm gonna like change the world by doing things so like because I thought that you're imagining, you know. That's like what you're having to understand what really life is about. I still understand, but I know one thing it's not, because like feeling is only too high of it. That's the best thing I can say about gratitude is that someone told me that if you like your possessions, you like your gifts, you can take care of it. in my feeling for so many years and finding ways to use it. I recognized how long I went thinking I was quick to then stopping criminal activity and recognizing how it, not good I was. So I'm rambling a little bit. I wasn't sure what to say about gratitude. So I thought I was going to come in here and tell some true stories about like my activities. Someone told me about a week ago they wanted to like record and speak because I'm pretty animated and telling stories at work or in meeting after the meeting. They're going to use it for a school project. That's pretty cool. I guess this is all just like everyone wants to go on YouTube and like be a cut up for a clown. I made that impression when I planned it on the clown. I'm like, it's not irresponsible or anything. Like, makes people go really confused. But, it's, you know, it's like a moderation thing. Like, I'm funny when I can be and when it's appropriate. And I'm trying to work on that. You know, like, I have dreams to react. I'm a nihilist. You can't stop complaining. You understand that? I'm sorry. it's so, like, I wanted to do some music. And, like, I never had performing bone in my body. I'm always out to let that laugh, but I think that, I know that's a lot of meaning for me. So, like, maybe I can do that. That's one of the things she said. I'm sorry, when I got here, I thought I was focused. And, like, a lot of that, that's a big stab on me that I have yet to let fall off. Like, you know, I think a lot of these drops, and, you know, when I'm alone, especially, I'm hypercritical of the world, I find everything wrong, and I'm right that if things are wrong. I find that prayer helps. Every time I get mad at therapists, it's like the only thing that works. I don't get to spend any time, you know. And trusting God and making packages for the sadness is kind of from the beginning. And like, hey, I start out the circle. I'm grateful, thankful, God, for letting me have this vacation. And I let's get going. And as soon as I get to Highland, it's like vomit about it. And I'm like, fuck you. It's just shit. Stop, and there's no reason for it. You just stop and step off and do it. It's a circus on the highway. And like, you know what I heard? I'm doing that thing. You know, my empty craft, last week, people being free. I was thrilled to know there's something that it's only just the littlest thing to get me upset. And what I gather from that is like I said my toes and skin fall off. The traffic is there, pissed me off. The little thing like that can throw me into like, you know, wanting to drop an atom bomb. Like just take for no reason. You know, I started to sing in the car, that made me feel much better. I was singing in the car and I felt kind of dangerous without taking my eyes at the helmet. But what the little thing ticks me off is what if I use it? I'm so passionate about everything I know, what anyone's given me is just like stuff to do. You know, and when I start to drink or use drugs in that first trip, I feel a stress, a debris, I feel like I lose all of that. And that's my heart for 30 seconds or whatever. Like everything just kind of falls down the drain. And then they're like, this is what I think you should be saying about, like, the gift of desperation, being a gift, you know, like, I'm thankful that I went through it hard, and, like, that's hard to grasp, and like, that's hard to keep the faith, because, like, I'm saying now, when I was 13, and I was like, stop, you know, you don't know what I'm going through, and then I was mad at myself, I said, just wait, just wait a year, but there's so much more than just waiting, like, there's voices, and I'm discovering the stopping of using this anger and telling me to stop the hard part. I'm really hard on myself. I'm lonely because I'm on a relationship where I'm just struggling with like ineffective and everything. And like these are complicated things. And like unfortunately I'm watching through my friendship just right now. So like, you know, I'm friends who are recording something in here and I'm almost scared. As long as I don't have my hands on anybody's hands, like I'm safe. You know, there's no paper trail on it. I'm not touching anybody, so I can sit back and watch. And like, it sucks because I see people going through unnecessary pain. Like, yeah, it feels good for a day or two or even 3 weeks in doubt. But, I mean, it's just terrible. Like, the pain that people are going to be taking them back out. And it's like, it misinforms everybody that's in the circle. They're like, oh, what's it? How'd that happen? I think it's nurse and like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. And that's how you kind of like divide people who are about 20 people who are not. This is terrible. Just like then this is set up to your mind and set it false. I don't like that. I don't have a black suit. I wear colorful clothes. And that's kind of like people who are keeping me in front of me. I don't want to be in that tactic. You know, and I just don't want to be in the same thing either. And how to say, how, you know, I'm Jeff, I'm an artist, I'm grateful to be here, thanks for listening to me.